Welcome to the Mormon Marriages Podcast. I am Angeline Bagley.
And I am Nate Bagley.
As members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe that the most important thing in life is your family, and the backbone of your family is your marriage.
So on this podcast, we talk with couples from the church who provide amazing insights into what it takes to create a marriage that will make you look forward to eternity.
It would mean a lot to us if you subscribe to the show, review it on iTunes, and reach out to us if you have any questions, suggestions, or ideas to make it even better.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Happy quarantine.
Yep. It's been a few months, and we're so sorry.
We're not sorry.
Well, we're not sorry, but we also recognize that we haven't put out an episode in a few months.
I'm not sorry because my wife has been with child.
That's true.
We're just coming out of the first trimester, and Angeline has spent the majority of her time feeling very, very sick. And, you know, recording a podcast just wasn't at the top of our priority list. And as much as we love you, Angeline's health and our baby's health is more important than whipping out podcast episodes. But now she's feeling better.
Yes, I am.
And we're like, all right, how do we get this podcast a moving again?
So we recorded another episode.
And we got more to come.
Yes, we do. We have more scheduled. So
excited to be back broadcasting again.
Yes, we will. And we will record an episode about our experience with first trimester because it was interesting.
It's been really interesting.
It was interesting for our marriage. And I think people will relate to it and maybe
find some comfort in it. There's a lot people don't talk about.
It's true. Yeah. Seriously, I had no idea.
So it's like once you get pregnant, you get it let in on into this like special inner
secret
circle
society.
Yeah, and people are like, "Did you know?" And it's like, "Why didn't anybody ever talk about this?"
Right.
Anyway,
well, we have a fantastic episode today with the mounts.
Can I plug one more thing before we dive into talking about
sure.
the mounts? So I know a lot of people are really struggling with quarantine and social isolation right now, and it's causing a lot of stress and anxiety, and people's routines are getting thrown off, and they're kind of piled on top of each other, and they're feeling a lot of pressure to like be perfect and great at everything always. And I just decided I was going to try and maybe help some people out. So I've been interviewing experts on the Facebook page.
Oh, yes. yes.
And I just want to encourage you, like, if you want to learn about homeschooling and pulling your kids out of the public school system so they don't have to do homework and turn in assignments and take tests and stuff like that, we did an interview with an expert on that. If you're freaking out because of meal planning and that's really stressful and overwhelming and you're just like, ugh, this is keeping everybody fed and shopping and maybe baby food is really stressful. We did an interview with a food person about how to prep like between 10 and 20 meals in 1 hour and then have wow. freezer meals. So that's a really cool thing. Later today, we're recording this on Friday the 27th. So I've got plans to interview a couple who does family fitness. And they do workouts. And the workouts can be done in your home with your kids. And they are all about like physical activity and creating a culture of fitness inside your family. So if you're feeling stir crazy and you need to get some of the energy out or you miss working out at the gym, these workouts are designed to give you a great full body workout and you can do it with your kids. I think they even use your kids as like weights and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
So my goal here is to just like is try and provide people with a little bit of some solutions and some opportunities to have fun and to connect with each other and to navigate have some tools and principles to navigate this crazy time in a little bit of a better way. So if you want to see more of those, they might end up being part of the podcast feed, but if you want to see them live or right now, you can just go to our Facebook page.
Great. Yeah, I think they'd be great as yeah. bonus episodes we can publish.
Now let's talk about the mounts, because right. I love them.
We,
Alan and Katie are fantastic.
We had a fantastic interview with Alan and Katie. So they're the hosts of the Marriage on a Tightrope podcast, mm-hmm. where they talk about their experiences living as part of a mixed faith marriage. Mm-hmm. And they are an awesome resource for people who are going through this.
And a great example.
Such a good example. And yeah. have such a loving marriage. And they were so real with their story. And I'm excited for y'all to listen to it.
Yeah. One of the things I loved about this is that Katie said that when they started going through this trial in their marriage, that she turned to her leaders and she turned to friends. And she's like, is there anybody that I can talk to? Anybody that can support me as we try and figure out the dynamic of our marriage, and there was nothing. And so mm-hmm. she's like, you know what? I'm going to create a resource because I can't be the only one.
Right.
And I just think that's so courageous and brave. And I really related her with regards to that. So I just thank you, Alan and Katie, for sharing your story with us. And we hope y'all enjoy it.
Let's dive in.
We are recording. Hello, everybody.
Are you really going to use that voice, dear?
No, we'll start over. Okay. How's it going, everybody?
Hi.
We're back.
It's been a few months.
It's been a hot minute since we had a podcast episode.
Yes, it has.
Partly just because pregnancy has been rough.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's for sure.
We'll do a whole episode on that. We're not going to waste your time or the Mount's time talking about our Angeline's first trimester. But we have some amazing guests here with us, the Mounts, Alan and Katie. And we're stoked to have you guys here. You have podcasts of your own, right?
We do, yeah. We're super excited to be here on yours. So thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. It's really nice to have fellow podcasters on the show.
How long have you guys had your podcast?
We've been doing it for a little over 2 years, and it's called Marriage on a Tightrope. And so far, so good, right?
Yeah, no bumps, no bruises. We're good.
You're still alive. You're still together. That's a good sign.
That's right. We usually take breaks. We take July off usually and take December off. So I think that it's manageable when we do that.
That's
nice.
So I don't want to... I want to get to the podcast, but I want to start out by hearing a little bit about how you guys met and fell in love. Can you guys tell us a little bit about your love story?
Oh, sure.
Let's see. Okay, you go. You start.
It was a May afternoon in 2002. So we met on May 8th, 2002. And the reason why we know the date so off the top of our head like that is because we met in the MTC in Provo.
Oh, wow.
So we were both called to serve in the Barcelona, Spain mission.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Don't do that, honey. Don't be that person. How we both
speak. I just went there.
That's right. We both learned how to speak Spanish the right way. So we
speak that there you way. Go. There you go.
And I remember walking into that first room to meet your district, and there's Hermana New at the time was her name, and it was sparks immediately, right, babe?
Yeah, no. pretty immediately, my companion grew to hate Alan because he became our district leader, and she felt that he was very...
Showboaty.
Just look at me. I can do this. You can do this. Let's inspire you, but look at me. And we were the all-knowing, you know, older sisters. Alan and I are actually only a year apart, but back then, it's when sisters left at 21, not 19. So,
You're so much more experienced.
And so, I took my companion side naturally and fostered a love-hate relationship with the elders. But then we got to Spain where things were more relaxed. And at the NTC, it was very just do your own thing.
You didn't really have a companion in the Madrid MTC.
Yeah. And so, but then we all started to like each other because we were stuck with each other for 6 weeks. So
yeah.
Then we just became friends. And then in the mission, it was interesting because it was Barcelona. So it covered like north to south, that whole
eastern side.
And so you could really go anywhere. And Alan and I got moved from area to area at the same time, but like in adjoining areas. So we saw each other like the whole mission.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when I got moved north, he was moved north. When I got moved south, he was moved south. Like we just kind of followed each other. And we became really good friends. And then I left. And then he still had 6 months left. And then do you want to tell about the...
Yeah, the very last day of the mission. So I had been talking to the mission president about a girl I was going back to. I didn't go on to the mission with this girl waiting for me. But by the time I went home, I was persuasive in my letters home, I guess. And she was waiting for me by the time the mission was about up. And her name was also Katie. And I had talked to the mission president about that and gotten some advice. Well, I get a Dear John letter the last day of the mission.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And I was like, shoot, I was going back to this girl. So I tell the mission president, I got this letter from Katie and she's back with her ex-boyfriend and that's it. Like, it's not going to happen. And he goes, oh, that's just, you know, yes, it's too bad for you, but you know, keep your chin up because there's another Katie out there that would be dying to date you. And I knew that he was talking about Hermana Dew. For whatever reason, I looked at him and he looked, I kind of furled my brow a little bit and he looked at me and said, you know, Elder, you get home and the badge comes off and you look at that sister and you say, you know, she's pretty good looking. And I was a missionary, you know, 2 years into being a missionary. And I was like, no, President, you cannot talk this way.
Yeah. Blasphemy.
6 weeks later, we knew we were getting married.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. It was pretty, because we had been friends for those 2 years. And then,
yeah, that's a long time to get to know somebody.
Right. And and then it was, when you figure out the romantic part is going to work and you already know you're good friends, it's like, okay.
Yeah. So I went home to Santa Barbara, California, is where I grew up. And Katie is from Springville. Mm-hmm. And so she was here in Utah. I was in California. But a few months prior to my returning from the mission, I transferred to BYU from UCLA to play volleyball at BYU. Mm-hmm. And
you played volleyball at BYU?
I did.
Wow. That is an impressive accolade.
Well, I'm 6'7". I had to do something. And
wait, what? What years did you play?
I played 04 and 05 were the years, and then
okay, and then I would have been. I was on my mission when you were playing, and then I came home and I went to many, many BYU volleyball games.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I ended up quitting.
It's crazy.
2 years early to start a family, and that kid that we had to start that family is driving us nuts, but that's
he's a teenager.
Different podcast topic.
Congratulations.
Right. We'll do a follow up.
That's right. So
how the Mounts deal with their teenagers.
Oh my goodness. He's 13 and it's great. But yeah, that's how we ended up together is the transfer of both of us. She was at UVU, transferred to BYU. And that transfer made it possible for us to make it work.
That's amazing.
So we've been married 15 years in last December, we celebrated 15 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we've got, now we have 4 kids, ages 13 is a boy, 12 boy. And then we have a daughter who's turns 8 in a couple weeks. And then our son is 6. So.
Wow.
And that's it.
That's amazing. You guys are great.
Anyway.
Good times. Yeah. Fun times.
So you met, you fell in love, you had a bunch of babies, and now you host this podcast.
Yeah.
Can we make that jump right now?
Sure.
Sure.
So what's the podcast about? Largely.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. So about 3 years ago, 2017, Alan had a faith transition. He, you could say, went down the rabbit hole and found things that he didn't like and decided that the church really wasn't for him.
Yeah.
And so that was really, really hard. And in the year 2017, that was probably our most dark, tumultuous year of marriage. I went back and forth with bishops and stake president and counselors just to try and get a footing or a feel of like what to do. And unfortunately, I remember asking a member of the stake presidency, hey, is there anyone that I could talk to about this? Because I don't have like a roadmap. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what is normal and not normal. I don't know how to handle things because right now all I do is just cry. And I need some help. And I said, is there anyone you can think of in the stake that has been down this road, and you don't have to give me a name right now, but someone that maybe you could approach and say, would you mind talking to Katie Mount because she really is struggling here. And he said, give me a minute to think about that. So we sat in silence, which was super awkward, but it, you know, after a little bit, he came back and said, you know, there's really no one you can talk to.
Oh man.
And I was, I was pretty upset. I thought, okay, one of two things are happening. The first thing is, maybe people are just leaving and they're not talking to their leaders because they're out anyway and they're going to move on with their life. Or the second is that people are lying about where they are and they're mm-hmm. afraid to speak up. And so after that interview, I was feeling really like upset. And Alan has done a podcast in the past with his brother. So I knew that he knew how to put a podcast together. And I just said, hey, you know, what would you think about if we did a podcast about where we are in our marriage, in our life? And he was...
I jumped up and down and started clapping. I was so excited. He's like,
yes, let's do it. And so Alan actually approached a couple of people to see if they would be interested in picking up our podcast. And Bill Rill, has Mormon Discussions platform. We sent the idea to him and he said, go ahead and, you know, record your first episode. And so we recorded the first episode and sent it to him, but we didn't hear back. And I thought, well, that's sad. He didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And then it was a Saturday night. After a year of this, we had just told our families like where Alan was at. And
about a week prior to all of this happening.
Right. And then a week later, he sent us a message on a Saturday night that said, oh, by the way, I'm releasing your episode tomorrow morning.
What?
Oh, dear.
And I was like, wait, what? I don't think I want you to. I was really nervous about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? We hadn't received great feedback from our family. Mm-hmm. So I was really nervous to like put ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And so it released the next morning, and within like just a couple of hours to a couple of days, we were really like flooded with a lot of people who were in the same boat. And then it just kind of, it grew. It just exponentially grew from there.
Yeah. That morning that the first episode released, I met with my bishop and said, and I had discussions with him as well. When Katie was having her talks with the bishop and the stake president, I was having the same talks. And I walked into his office. I'm like, you might see something, or someone may tell you that this is happening. And so I pulled it up on his phone. I said, look, this is what it is. We're talking about our marriage and lessons that we've learned in navigating this new mixed or interfaith marriage that we found ourselves in. And it's not about talking badly about the church. It's not about talking badly about family or you. It's dedicated solely to a strengthening marriage in the face of a very difficult new situation that we're finding mm-hmm. ourselves in. Kind of documenting that journey was the primary goal of it.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of what we've held to, is we don't talk about any church doctrine. We don't talk about, we don't call anyone out. That's definitely not the purpose. The purpose is like, how do we work through our marriage with like these new beliefs you have, and me holding strong to the beliefs that I've always had.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes to show just how needed this was in our culture, because I think it's more common than people realize. Again, like you said, people don't talk about it as much and are probably craving that kind of resource. And so I think it's really awesome that you guys have been so vulnerable to do that.
Thank you.
But could you tell us a little bit about that journey in your marriage? Let's assume our listeners haven't heard of your podcast, haven't listened to your story. What have been some things that you have done to help strengthen your marriage, or how has it affected your marriage? Let's just go from there.
Yeah, sure. So I think the first thing would be to look at 2017 and the hard lessons that we learned in that dark year. I'm so sorry, but my throat's bothering me.
That's okay. No worries.
He does not have coronavirus.
It's okay. It wouldn't matter anyways.
I know.
Yeah. No, don't get us through the internet. Don't get us
mutated through the Wi-Fi.
So I'm really curious, Alan, if you want to take, like, talking about that 2017, you've obviously got some stuff going on in your head, in your heart that you want to share. Was it hard for you to share, to talk about this stuff with Katie, or?
Well, it's kind of you're danged if you do, you're danged if you don't situation, because it was hard not to talk about it with Katie. But then you bring it up and it's hard, if not harder, to talk about it with Katie.
What makes it hard?
So, you know, you rewind 10 minutes on this podcast and you see how critical the church was just to our story.
Right.
It brought us together. It wasn't the only thing in our relationship, of course, or even the number one thing in our relationship. We truly love each other for who we are, but that's a huge part of who we are. And so when I find myself, I would say not meaning to, I didn't mean for this to happen. I didn't want it to happen. It's just, it happened. When I suddenly find myself encountering information that I did not know, feeling certain ways about the church that I had never felt before, my natural reaction is to lean to Katie whenever any crisis hits in my life. That's what I'm going to do. And leaning to her in those moments really, and you can speak for yourself, it can feel like an attack, especially when at the very beginning you haven't learned. And this is one of the big goals that I have on the podcast is for those that are undergoing the change, learning effective ways of communicating with your spouse about difficult topics such as your beliefs and your changing beliefs specifically, those lessons hadn't been learned yet in 2017. And I had to kind of make those mistakes. And I think we both made mistakes in conversation talking about some of these difficult topics.
Were you scared in bringing this stuff up that you were going to end up getting divorced?
I not in 2017. We're kind of skipping a little bit, but it all of this started back in 2015, and I'll try to do the 15-second version.
Yes, you're good.
Katie likes to remind me I can talk a lot, but she'll do.
That's what podcasts are for.
let's keep going. Let's keep rolling.
That's right. So in 2015, I found I was Elders Quorum president, preparing for an Elders Quorum lesson the next day. And that's when I stumbled upon some stuff on the church website, the Gospel Topics essays. And that night after a couple of hours, my eyes widened and I went, oh my goodness, I have no idea about any of this. I walked out and talked to Katie about it. And it was pretty clear by the following conversation that our marriage could end if this was something that went.
This is not something I remember. And I had literally just had a brand new baby. I was on the couch with our number four, no sleep. I'm like, dude, you cannot take anything I say when I'm pregnant or just a new mom, like new baby. Like you just can't, I don't even remember saying what I said.
Yeah. I mean the quote that came out after I said, did you know X, Y, and Z? She said, if you ever leave the church, I will leave you. And I went, oh, that's not even what I'm talking about right now. I just read this thing on the church website and it scared me so bad that I didn't even allow myself to go there. Mm-hmm. And so from mid 2014 through the end of 2016, I just wasn't willing to do it. I kept going as Elders Quorum president. We moved to a new ward. I was called back into the Elders Quorum presidency.
I was the primary president.
She was the primary president. And there was some, long story short, some mild to medium anxiety and depression that I was going through, largely because of just feeling like I didn't have a choice. This was what I was going to do. And then in 2017, it had kind of dissipated, that anxiety. And I sat, I remember we were in the car in the driveway of our home. And I just said, you know, I'm in a better place now. I'm going to go back and read all those essays and really figure things out and see how I feel about the church. Mm-hmm. And what was your response?
Yeah, I actually felt really good about it. I told him I felt a lot of peace and I said, go for it. You know, if you need to figure things out, I'm happy to support you in that. The biggest regret we have though came when he did do the research. I knew he was doing the research and I knew it would be, everything would work out, but I didn't know like to what extent. So he did, from then on, he did about 6 months of research, and it wasn't until 6 months passed that he finally clued me in on to how he was feeling about the church. And so I felt a lot of betrayal, and I felt Alan and I have talked about it, and he really regrets not taking me on the journey with him and like informing me and updating me all along, because for 6 months it was like there was just dead quiet on the other end. There really wasn't a communication. And then when he finally brought it out, then it was like all hell broke loose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't expect anything to come of it. You know, when you're in that beginning of 2017 stage that I was in, you know, you tell your wife, hey, I'm going to read some stuff on the church website.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, okay, cool. Sounds good. And then you're off to the races and you learn this thing that's crazy and it takes you to go learn about something else. And you just keep digging and digging and going and going. And you're searching for an answer. I'm meeting with stake presidency members. I'm meeting with my bishop. Like, I just saw this. And how is that possible? And do you have an answer for that? I was trying to solve it. And all of a sudden you go, oh, shoot, I haven't solved it. This is just worse than when I even started.
How does it make you feel when people say things like you just didn't have enough faith or you just weren't doing the scriptures and prayer thing?
See, this is probably the thing that has contributed the most to the strengthening of our relationship. Is if you ask that question to Katie, maybe you could answer it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that everyone can pass judgment all they want, but like only you and your spouse are privy to the knowledge of the daily things that happen. So, I mean, really you don't owe that person an explanation, and I think it's minimizing their own emotions or, you know, others' emotions when you say things like that, because yeah, I saw Alan pray every day. I saw him meet with the bishop. I saw him read the books I asked him to read. You know, he did everything that I asked him and the bishop, you know, guided him to do, and it still turned out differently. So I think that that's a lesson in compassion people need to learn, because I think you could say that about almost anything about, you know, well, you had a miscarriage. Were you on a Disneyland ride? Were you, can be, And so I think that that's just people not having very much compassion for others when they say things like that.
Yeah. And I think there is a bit of there's a really interesting culture in our church where there's one right answer to questions.
Right.
And it's like, and this is something that I realized on my mission that kind of has always just been this itch in the back of my mind. It's where it's like you ask somebody to read the Book of Mormon and read Moroni's Promise and then pray about it and they'll get an answer. And then if I ever came back and they were like, sorry, I didn't get an answer, or I got an answer and the answer was no, it'd be like, oh, well, you must have done it wrong then.
You because didn't do it right.
No, no isn't the answer. The only real answer is yes. And so I think when you are really committed to that way of believing and thinking, it doesn't leave space for a lot of agency, or it's really hard to have compassion or understanding for somebody who might get a different answer than you.
Right.
Well, and to your point, in your marriage, it absolutely matters how you say things. If Alan were to say like, well, this is wrong, or this is right, or this is false, or, you know, this is bad, all of those are triggering words, right? That feels like he's attacking me. So the approach that Alan and I take, this works versus this doesn't work. The church works for me right now. And in my place right now, the church doesn't work for him. Mm-hmm. This gospel doctrine works for me and this doesn't work for him. And you know, that's both interchanging, but that also shows a bit of humility where he can believe the way he wants without attacking me, and I can too. And so we've really had to change like the words we use with each other in order to communicate more effectively.
Right. Well, and I think that goes to show again why this conversation is so important, because going back to your first response in 2015, newly delivered baby Katie who responded in that way, I think that's a very common response when all we hear is there's only one way of living. This is the way you're supposed to live, and anything that looks different than this is wrong. And so it's important to have these kinds of conversations that show life is different for every single person that's living it. There's a different recipe for marriage for every person that has one, and it's going to look different for everybody. And so when we can have more of these conversations, I think it, again, then you fast forward to 2017, Katie, where your response is a little bit more softened and more peaceful and more, yeah, go for it. Give it a try. You know, I'm rambling now, but
it's cute. I liked it. I want to hear Katie's perspective now. We heard a little bit about Alan and, what it was like for you to kind of wrestle and share this stuff and how hard it was. And Katie, you mentioned, in 2017, all hell broke loose. Those were your words. Can you give me an idea of what it meant for you for hell to break loose and what that looked like?
Yeah. I mean, we hadn't told our families. I think with any problem, especially in your marriage, you avoid talking to your families because you're trying to work through things, right? So you want to come to a resolution before you start telling them about the problem.
Yeah, it's hard to come to them and be like, you know, this is what we're struggling with. And they go, well, what are you doing? And you go, I don't know. I don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know what the plan is. It helps to have a bit of some foundation first. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's important to like be united in what you're thinking and doing. So it was a really dark time. I obviously searched for people to talk to, and there wasn't anyone. I didn't know anyone in a interfaith mixed faith marriage. I didn't know who was safe and who would still love Alan for Alan and who would still love me for me and not give me the advice just to get divorced. So I felt very, very alone, and Alan did too. But, you know, in those moments, especially at the beginning, I felt so many of my feelings were, he is doing this to me. Like, he is causing me pain. He is causing me to change the way that I live.
Yeah.
And
he's the villain, you're the victim.
Yeah, I totally was played it off that he was the villain and I was the victim. And so I'm a very extroverted person, so not having anyone to sort of like talk things through or process things with, it was just really dark and it was very difficult. And I didn't want to know anything that he had read or found out because I felt like it would threaten what I believed, and I didn't think that was fair for me. You know, he came to his own conclusion in a more natural way, and him shoving things at me would not be natural. I wouldn't be coming to the same conclusions. So anytime he would give me anything or want to talk, I just immediately put up my defenses. And it was like losing someone, because, you know, you see your future and you have all these expectations, and then they're gone like that. And so we wouldn't be serving a mission together. We wouldn't, you know, would he even be at my kids' temple ceremonies, or would my kids get married in the temple? So now all these things that the church does really good at laying things out, you know, our lives out, and you hit the milestones and then you move on. And so all those milestones were gone. So I was grieving the expectations of my future. And that was really, really hard. And, you know, just when I think that we would get through something after we talked about it, it would just be a wave after wave of grief that would hit me. And so I felt like I was drowning, and there wasn't anyone there. You should talk now. It was hard. It was just so dark. And I wrote a few journal entries, and I went back to them like a year ago, and I just feel so bad for that person back then. And I think that's like really like such a, it was such a motivator to me to reach out to people who were feeling the same way, because I didn't have anyone. And so many people are afraid to tell their families, and they just don't have anyone either. So,
I want to emphasize something. If anyone's listening that is in the same situation that I'm in, that you have lost a previous belief, or your belief has changed, I'm really thankful that I learned a lesson pretty quickly that while I didn't ask for this to happen to me, Katie certainly didn't ask for it to happen to her. Mm-hmm. And so that helped me, that realization helped me be much more patient with myself and with my marriage. It kind of dropped the expectation that I needed to be patient for Katie, because it helped me get to that really the end goal of the podcast is it doesn't matter what you believe. She shouldn't be trying to pull me back, and I shouldn't be trying to pull her out. We need to be happy with how each individual's faith and beliefs are.
Yeah.
And I very, very deliberately, and so has Katie, said many, many times, I love who you are now. I love what your beliefs are right now. And I will always love you no matter what those beliefs end up being. You can change them every day for the rest of your life. It does not matter. I truly, truly feel that. We can go with her fully participating in the church and me fully not participating, and I'd be cool with it. I'd be fine. Is it easy all the time? No, of course not. There's absolutely still situations that come up, less frequent than a few years ago, but I'm in it for the long run. I'm enduring to the end.
So,
are you still in?
Yeah.
Wow, the enthusiasm is infectious.
That is convincing.
Jury's out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So tell us a little bit about how you've come to that in your marriage, how you've been able to get to that point.
Yeah. So one thing we did is, I feel like there are a lot of things, but like if anyone's listening that are in the beginning stages, I think if you were to go binge listen to our podcasts, like first till, you know, first till now, there's definitely an evolution that happens, mm-hmm. right? You grow and you go through really hard things, and then growth happens. And then, you know, you come out and you're feeling good, and then something else, you know, again, it's those waves, right? So I think patience is really important. You're not going to have all the answers all at the same time, and you're not going to be able to quickly go through this. This is one of my other things is, along with the stages of grief, it's important that each spouse experiences those stages, because mm-hmm. if you skip a stage within those, you will be thrown back to it. Right. And so it's important for me to go through my grieving stage. It was important for me to feel pain and then suffer and get through that. And while little things will hit you, it is not as bad as right in that dark time, that dark night of the soul. And the same thing was with, you know, for Alan, he had to go through his own stages of grief and then feel it, you know, along the way. So that's a very important part of growth in your own journey. So allow yourselves to do that, because if you don't and you skip, then you've got lots of other problems that that creep in, right?
Right.
So one thing I would say is I've have emotions spilling out of my sleeve. It's like Seinfeld's pirate shirt. There's frills everywhere. And those emotions are popping off of the shirt everywhere you look. And it was in those moments where Katie knew I was highly emotional. You could say I was in my angry phase. When I'm learning about this and that, and I'm getting upset about it, I'm going to church and I'm being told to be quiet, and I don't want to stop going, and I'm trying to make it work. And
wait, people told you to be quiet at church?
Oh, multiple times. Yeah, we can talk about that here in a second. But to focus on the marriage, right? In those moments where Katie can see me day in and day out trying and being so hurt, in that exact moment, also turning to her and in her primary calling and saying, you know, what do you need help with? How can I support you in preparation for primary this Sunday? And if it's, I don't want to figure out how to put this video on a thumb drive, can you go put this video on a thumb drive?
That happened more than once.
It was almost a weekly thing. I would put the video on the thumb drive. If she wanted me to dress up as Moses, which happened, I would dress up as Moses and go and talk to the kids in primary. That was one of the big, big leaps forward, I think, for us, was on both sides. Katie was offering the same things of, hey, how can I make this easier for you? knowing how vehemently we disagreed with each other, but also still standing up for each other, was like, it felt impossible, yet there we were doing it.
That's really beautiful.
You're beautiful. Sorry, that was reflexive. I
like it.
You're leaning into the camera. It's, yeah. We can
another thing I'm interested about, I'm a very visual person, and so when I hear marriage on a tightrope, I feel like it paints a vivid picture. And I'm curious as to how you guys came up with that name for your podcast.
Oh, that's a good question. So we had just seen a couple months before The Greatest Showman, and I was listening to the soundtrack, and it was the, what is it called?
It's called Tightrope.
Yeah, it's called Tightrope, but it's Michelle Williams, and she says, like, okay, I'll just read some of the lyrics. It says, some people long for a life that is simple and planned, tied with a ribbon. Some people won't sail the sea because they're safer on land to follow what's written, but I'd follow you to the great unknown, off to a world we call our own. Hand in my hand, and we promise to never let go. We're walking the tightrope high in the sky. We can see the whole world down below. We're walking the tightrope, never sure, never know how far we could fall, but it's all an adventure that comes with a breathtaking view. Walking the tightrope with you. And
that gives me chills. I love that so much.
So I listened to that song, and I sent it to Alan, and I'm like, Alan, this is exactly how I feel. I feel like we're walking this tightrope, and we're just like holding each other's hands. We don't know what's in front of us. We can't, it's all unknown. And so when we were talking about the podcast, it was so natural to like call it marriage on a tightrope, because, you know, so much of it is like, you know, pull and push, and you're trying to walk these fine lines with each other, as well as your family, as well as church. And so, yeah, it felt like perfect.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I was so curious about that.
Can I ask what feels like a very insensitive question, but I think it's an important one?
Oh, I love this.
Great. You can probably anticipate where I'm going with this, but I think a lot of people would hear your story, and the thought that might pop into their head is, well, Alan is no longer keeping his covenants. He's changed his faith, whether it was on purpose or on accident, we don't know, but like whatever happened, he's no longer keeping his covenants. So there's no obligation to remain in your marriage since one person isn't being faithful to their covenants. And obviously this sent in 2017 sent you into the deep dark abyss. Yeah. What, like, I guess my question is, one, did anybody encourage you to walk away? And number two, what made you both decide to stick with it, even though our culture is very, very much centered around having marriages of like shared faith. And there's very much a cultural, almost, I don't want to say repulsion, because that's a very graphic word, but we're very averse to this idea of having a marriage that isn't sanctified by a temple ordinance or something like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I want to ask this question just because I know that there are very Orthodox members of the church who might be in a similar situation and contemplating this and they might be in a very similar situation and contemplating these very thoughts. And I want to understand how your decision-making process moved forward and why you are where you are right now.
So I was the one that got an email from a loving family member who said that I could do what the pioneers did and make the hard choice and the right decision
to cross the plains alone.
Yeah. Mm. And that I should make that decision to leave Alan. And it was a very hurtful thing to read. And the first thing I would say before I say that is, when Alan and I decided to tell friends and family, we were in a really good place. We were at a place where if we were to tell them something like this, you know, well-meaning as it may be, they it wouldn't shake us in wanting to leave one another. So we were on pretty solid ground when we decided to tell family. Then after, when I received this email and I was pretty hurt by it, I went to my stake president because I was pretty upset and I cried in his office. And he said to me, Katie, does your husband abuse you? And I said, no. And he said, does your husband love you and support you and take care of you? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, I've been meeting with him for the past year and I know his character and I know who he is. And he said, I would never ever tell anyone to divorce their spouse over this. This is, and he said, you know, we know about a pinky full of God's plan. We think we know it all, but we don't. Yeah. And I'm, he said, I can just tell you this, all will be made right when we die.
Whatever that means.
So he said, you know, the Lord will make it right. Don't worry about it. You know, you could have a quote unquote faithful, you know, guy that you're married to, but you could be miserable because he doesn't treat you well. And he doesn't, you know, but he, just because he doesn't check all the boxes doesn't mean he's a good match or a good mate for you. And I really was so grateful of that perspective because I felt like that gave me the strength to keep going, knowing that we were a good match. We were friends before we were ever, you know, romantically involved, and we just were a really good match. So, to me, I married him. I didn't marry the church, and I just have faith that it'll all work out. And I think that we just don't know as much as we think we do.
Hmm. Yeah. That was just as beautiful as the song lyrics you just read. Very well said.
We'll write a melody to it.
Do you have anything to add?
No, I agree. It was very good.
I'm glad that was your answer.
Yeah.
we're so lucky that we didn't have leaders that expressed other things. As you can imagine, with the, and this is not a humble brag, but with how many emails and people that we talk to through our podcast, that isn't the only experience.
No.
I would say it's probably the most common experience, mm-hmm. but there absolutely have been leaders that recommend leaving.
A little bit of leadership roulette.
Yeah, a little leadership roulette. And guess what? We've seen it happen. We've seen couples get divorced. We hear, and it's terrible. And there's, you know, marriage is hard enough without throwing in mixed faith. And so some of these marriages are hanging by a thread or they're falling off the tightrope before this even happens. But a lot of the professionals that we've talked to in this space have said that mixed faith is by itself is not a reason for a marriage to end. And the most common outcome that we have seen is that marriages are actually much, much stronger when you find yourself in a mixed faith marriage because of how much work you have to put into it, mm-hmm. that you just you grow so close because you realize, man, we can handle a lot. We can really work through some tough things. And it keeps happening. I mean, it keeps happening. And like Katie said at the very beginning of this podcast, our daughter turns 8 in 2 weeks. Guess who she wants to baptize her? Guess who's not going to be able to baptize her? So it's these milestones happen and you just have to work through it every single time.
Yeah. Man, you guys are great.
You're really affirming. Nick, it's very affirming. We can go for 2 hours.
Can we please?
Katie's like,
I'm done. I just want to express a little gratitude before we wind up. Ange and I have had our own experiences of sharing parts of our journey in a very public way and exposing ourselves to criticism and scrutiny and putting ourselves under the magnifying glass. And I firmly believe that the message that you're sharing and the things that you're doing and that you're modeling for other people is absolutely vital. It's important, so important, especially as there's so much more faith turbulence now than there ever has been in, right, in the church. Minus maybe the very early days when it first started, it was pretty turbulent, but like we're in this really weird place right now where there's lots of people getting exposed to lots of ideas and thoughts and church history and doctrines and leadership issues. And it shakes people's testimonies. And like I've been through it, Alan's been through it, lots of people have been through it, and seeing that couples can make it through that stronger and more connected than they were before. I just want to appreciate you guys for speaking out, because who knows where we would be without voices like yours. The world would be a much crappier place, and our little community of the church would be a much crappier place. So thank you for being so brave and awesome and transparent.
Very nice of you to say.
And just to add to that, going back to your experience where you felt like you had no one to talk to or nowhere to turn, I've seen on many occasions in different social media outlets where people have reached out in similar situations, wondering what to do with a spouse who is going through this type of a transition and not knowing where to turn. And several times I've read various people recommend your podcast. And so now there is a place for people to go, and there is a place for people to turn when maybe before there wasn't. So
thank you.
Thanks for spending an hour with us, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
So for those of you who are listening, this is a great resource, the Marriage on a Tightrope podcast. If you find yourself in a similar position.
If you know someone, you can recommend
them to this. What do you guys have going on over here? You got something you want to say? Let's hear it.
Let me respond to what you just said. We take both sides of belief, let's say all spectrums of belief, very seriously. Mm-hmm. It's not a side thing. Right. We deliberately make the podcast, quote, safe for anyone that is on the spectrum of belief.
Right.
That being said, there may be, if you're brand new, we have heard it's not easy to just not to admit to yourself that this is the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
So some people express that, man, they listen to an episode or two and it's hard because mm-hmm. it's like, oh my gosh, this is the situation I'm in. Yeah. I can't believe this is happening, and it's so hard. So, but that's our promise, is that as you listen to the podcast, if you reach out to us through email, I've gotten emails from the believing side of things asking me like, hey, how do you feel when someone does this? We are both very respectful of all sides of the equation. So I will say that. One thing we wanted to say as well is that on April 12th, we are starting, April 13th, excuse me, April 13th, we're doing an online course with Natasha Helfer Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it's a mixed faith marriage course. We are doing it through Eventbrite, so you can just search for workshop on a tightrope. We're going with the naming theme. And if you're interested in that, that's something that we've been planning for about a year now, trying to put some clinical expertise to what we're doing as well.
Yeah. And it's like a webinar. So 6 weeks and,
is it virtual?
All online. It's all online.
We planned it to be online before Corona hit.
Ooh, look at you.
You guys knew. You guys knew.
The force is strong with you.
That's right. That's right.
So yeah, if you wanted information, you could always, we're on Marriage on a Tightrope at gmail.com. We're also on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. I mean, there's a lot of, just Google us. And
we'll link to all the goodies in our blog post as
well. We'll link to everything.
Know how to find you.
That's
fantastic. Well, thanks for doing all you do.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back.
We'd love it.
Good. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
We hope that if it resonated with you, or if you know somebody that it might resonate with, that you share it with them. And
please pass it on.
Yes, pass it on to those who need to hear it.
And if you enjoyed a specific section or took something awesome away from it, take a screenshot and post it on social media and tag us. Mm-hmm. We love seeing the moments that you love show up in our social media feed on Instagram or Facebook. It's really awesome.
Right. And if you want to check out their workshop on a tightrope, it's going to be starting on April 13th, and it's a 6-week program that goes to May 24th. And it's what a fantastic thing to do while we're all in quarantine.
Yeah.
So with Natasha Helfer Parker.
Stay healthy, stay happy, take care of each other.
And we'll get back to you soon.
Very soon.
Bye.